Number one, we've had a wonderful time in the Lord. And I praise God for Brother Fisher taking a chance on us for just a moment and for your ear that we might share the Lord with you a moment. But I praise God for the great effort you put forth this week in the revival as you gave of your talents, you gave of your treasures, you gave of your testimony, and thank God of your time. And you've always been our prayers since we first visited you, Brother Fisher. I hope and pray we'll always be in yours, because we're in the battle together, we're laborers together, and if you're saved, we're going to wind up at the same place. If you are here tonight and not saved, God knows my heart. I'd like to say something that'll get you prepared to respond to God's invitation when Brother Danny preaches, and you'll come to Calvary and give your heart to God. I'm going to tell you something. There's some old saved Baptists got something that's good enough to die by, and thank God you can enjoy it while you're living. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 10. And we're going to watch the clock. We're going to preach on the wall so you won't have to, okay? I'm going to read about 4 or 5 verses and speak very briefly on a thought that ought to be a blessing to us, ought to be an encouragement to us, ought to be an exhortation to us, but it ought to warn the sinner to prepare to meet God. Amen? Amen. All right, Numbers 10 and verse number 1. This text is right in the middle of Israel's journey from Egypt into Canaan's fair land. As a matter of fact, if you catch the few verses, you'll notice the travel begins right after they're leaving Mount Sinai, the place of worship. Verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee 2 trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camp." Verse number 5, "When you blow an alarm," and that's enough. And verse number 10, "Also in the day, in your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpet." And the last statement, "A memorial before your God, I am the Lord your God." Now then, verse number 28, it says, "Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies, when they set forward. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I'll give it you. Come thou with us, and we'll do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." Then verse 32, "And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee." God being our helper, for just a moment, I want to warm up the service with this thought, the pilgrim's journey. I am a pilgrim and I am a stranger. This world is not my home. Amen. According to 1 Peter, if I can get my notes together here for just a moment, according to 1 Peter, you're going to find in verse number chapter 2, verse 11, it said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." In Hebrews 11, verse number 9, it declares that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dwelt with him in the same tent, and they were the same heirs of the same promise. And verse number 10 declared they literally looked for a city which hath foundation whose builder and maker is God. And then in verse number 13 it said, these all that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob died in faith, not having seen them, but embraced him afar off and were persuaded of them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I like to sing that old song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I want to tell you something. There's some wonderful divine thoughts hid away in this. If God will just take over and be the preacher for a few moments, I want to outline what I read to you very briefly. Number one, he said there'll be two trumpets of silver of one piece of beaten work. And now so you can see that, we are talking about the Old and the New Testament. It is one continuous canon of the blessed Word of God. How do you know that, preacher? Because, thank God, you will find in Exodus 26 that the foundation of the tabernacle was all standing in pure tendons of silver. And you will find in Exodus 30 that every man from 20 years old and up was to give a half a shekel of silver as an atonement for his soul into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And the Apostle Peter wants me and you to know we're no longer under the type, but thank God we're under the antitype. He said, I want you to know you've not been redeemed from corruptible things, from tradition received by your father, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Now, I want you to notice now, this blessed old book is one continuous panorama, the unfolding of the redemption of man from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Number one, notice what these two trumpets was used for, are the calling of the assembly. And God, this book is to be used when you come to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. Number two, it was for the journeying of the camp. I want you to know, me and you are to walk in unity. And the only way you'll ever know that is this blessed old trumpet. I'm glad, number three, in verse number 9, if you go to war, and my friend, that's the warfare as described in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the only other time this book is used around the house of God is in that memorial service when our brother, our sisters, outstripped us and crossed over to the other side. And so just for a little while tonight, we're pilgrims and strangers, and we're on a journey just as they left Sinai and was on the way to Canaan. I'm going to tell you, I've left Calvary. I'm in grace. And thank God I'm on the way to glory. And just as Moses invited this dad-in-law, he said, I want you to come and go with us, and we'll do you good, for the Lord has spoke well concerning Israel. And if you go with us, whatever God does for us, we'll do for you. Amen. I want to tell you something. I want to invite you tonight. I'll come and go with the Lighthouse Baptist Church, or they'll do you good. Or God has spoke well concerning the church. And he purchased with his own blood. Amen. And thank God, whatever God does for the church, I already know this pastor and his people will do for you if you'll just come and go with them. Amen. I praise God to begin with. I want you to come and go with us. Our God has spoke well concerning this church. Because thank God has summons and grace. I call you a sinner friend. I'm this world into fellowship with him who the blessed new birth. I'm glad, thank God, the Bible declares that but when it pleased God, Paul said, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he said to old Titus, a grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And I'm glad tonight, thank God, just as God come walking in the garden 6,000 years ago crying out, Adam, wherefore art thou? I'm glad the grace of God is calling men everywhere to repentance tonight. And if you'll come and go with us, we'll do you good. Thank God, number two, he'll not only summon you, but I'm glad, thank God, he'll search you. That's why the Bible said in Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search thee. I try the reins. And the psalmist David said in Psalm 139, verse number 23. Oh God, search my heart and know my thoughts, and make me to know my end. And if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. I'm glad to invite you tonight. If you'll come, God will give you the summons. And thank God that you'll search it. Preacher, why do I need to be searched? Because, my friend, you already sinners. The devil's hell, the wrath of God's abiding upon your sinner friend. And except you come to Calvary, who God summons and God searches and repentance toward God, faith that is sought, and then thank God accepted, saving grace. There'll be no hope for you. You'll come and go with us, we'll do you good. Of course, God will bring you to Calvary. And there you will find the saving grace of God is sufficient to forgive you of all your sin and to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, it said, you know our Lord, a grace of our God, though he was rich, yet for your sake and mine, he become poor, that you and I through his poverty might be rich. I'm glad to say it's not the outer works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to his mercy. He saves us by washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And for Ephesians 2:8, for that grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God. Preacher, I mean, I don't understand. Yes, you do. Let's go to the first verse in Ephesians 2:1. We'll tell you about your condition. And you are as dead as a hammer. Dead as last year's bird's nest, just as dried and just as useless, with no hope and no way to commune with God. But not only in verse 1 are you dead, but verse number 2 will tell you about your course, my friend. You are far in the devil, and you are of your father the devil. And verse number 3 will tell you about your conversations in the prayer. You are fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the lust thereof. But thank God, God who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us. If you'll come and go with us, you'll find saving grace. I'll forgive you of the penalty of sin. And you'll find saving grace. I'll deliver you from the power of sin. And thank God he'll put a hope in your heart. He'll share some grace. And one day he'll deliver you from the presence of sin. You know, I don't try to be smart for just a moment. I want to tell you Ephesians 2:8 is a Baptist verse. I hold up both hands and plead guilty of my nose to my toes. Because the old time at Baptist is the only people that knows the one that saves them is the one that keeps them. Amen. And Ephesians 2:8's got it locked in. And I'm not trying to be smart. All of our English language, we have single participle verbs. That means if you construct a sentence with the little verb I-S-E is in it, we're talking about today. Amen. And if you construct a sentence with a verb was, we're talking about yesterday. But if you lay her down, shall be, we're talking about tomorrow. Now let me get it on earthly terms. When you're talking about is, you're talking about legal tender. When you're talking about was, you're talking about a canceled check. And when you're talking about shall be, that's a promissory note. Amen. And in the Greek language, our Bible is translated from, is a triple participle verb translated for by in Ephesians 2:8. And that triple participle verb says, by grace I've been saved from the penalty. By grace I'm being delivered from the power. And by grace I'm going to be delivered one day from the presence of sin. And if you'll go and go with us, we'll do you good. For the Lord has spoke well concerning his body that we know is the church. That's one day yonder in glory on to be the bride and the darling Lamb of God. And if you come and go with us, not only, my friend, is your saving grace has saved you from the uttermost and the guttermost and all in between, but thank God he won't leave you as an orphan. I want you to know that sufficient grace has supplied all your needs according to his riches in glory from grace all the way to glory. Preacher, you know what you're talking about? I sure do. Amen. The Apostle Paul had prayed 3 times for God to remove the thorn. And he said, Paul, I won't remove it. But son, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so Paul said, I'd just rather glory in my infirmities at the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I'm glad to tell you tonight in Romans 8 and verse number 32, God spared not his son, but delivered him up for us, A-double-L. Now how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Did you hear that adjective? I said, this grace is sufficient. And God to meet your need of grace all the way to glory. And if you'll come and go with us, we'll do you good. What God does for us, and God will do for you. Until God shows you, he'll do it himself. Amen? And I said that to say this tonight. If that word all things in Romans 8:32 has not been underlined in your Bible, would you please underline it? Because once you get in, God's got only one condition. Are you to enjoy the all things of the sufficiency of God's amazing grace? And that's in Matthew 6 and verse number 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And what? In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. Unto him that is able to make all grace abound toward you, and you always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Why, hallelujah. If you knew anything about adjectives, I'd put you to shout. I'm out here in California. Amen. Now, let me just quote that. That's in your Bible. Bless God, I'm preaching one like you ought to have. I'm ashamed 16:11 myself. Amen. Listen, 2 Corinthians 9:8 says that God, he didn't say Audie, he didn't say Brother Fisher, he didn't even say this church. He said God is, there's that little verb present in it, is able to make A-double-L, all grace. How many of you know what the word all means? That's all of it. Amen. Abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. There it is. May abound. Every good work. You come and go with us. We'll do you good. Amen. Oh, my God shall supply. My God. Hallelujah. That's personal. Amen. That's not somebody else's God. That's my God. Shall supply. I'm telling you. What a potential. Whoa, my needs. According to his riches in glory. I got to touch that word all and that clock's running fast. All according is what I meant to say. How many of you understand what that word according means? That's a big word. Now God's able and he's the one who's going to supply all my needs according to his riches. Not according to mine, but according to his. Well, let me give you for instance. Let's say for instance that Brother Fisher, being a real rich man, could I use a term that you can hang on to? Let's say he's at least a billionaire. And now then, I mean, he loves God. I told you come and go with us, we'd do you good. And so he knows that I love God, but I'm destitute. I mean, bless God, they're fishing to move me out in the street, Brother Fisher. I can't even pay my rent. I can't pay my notes. I mean, I can't even buy groceries for my wife and young ones. And being the good man he is, he's going to help me out of my dilemma since he's a billionaire. And so he writes me a check. Let's say for $5,000. And said, oh, yeah, I believe I'll take care of you, won't he? Well, praise God, that'll get me out of my dilemma. You agree with that? But I want to ask you, did he help me according to his riches? No. He helped me out of his riches. What would he have to have done to help me according to his riches? Just sign that bottom line and handed me a blank check. And it would have been worth everything he is. That would have been according to his riches. At Calvary, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Son, 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 a bottom line said, fill in the faith, whatever you need. Amen. You'll come and go with us, we'll do you good. For God spoke well concerning the church. Let me say this, lovely folks. If all the loss to Christianity is just this life, I wouldn't trade it off. But my, this is just the beginning. Thank God, He's just got me down here in my bathroom, washing me up with the Word, cleaning me up with the Word, and dressing me up with the Word. I'm just a little old pilgrim journey, and pretty soon the trumpet's going to sound, and thank God this old body's going to be changed. I'm going to be called away to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air, and thank God that I'm just going to live forever in the presence around the person of the darling Lamb of God, and God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. He's the Father, I'm the Son, I'm His responsibility. I'm grace all the way to glory, and you need to come and go with us. Now let me close by telling you, not only will He summon you and search you and save you and sufficiently supply all your needs, but thank God, old Paul told that Philippian crowd, He's going to perform the good work He's begun in you until the day of redemption. That means He's going to consummate my salvation through amazing grace. Preacher, I thought you'd say, praise God, I am. But you need to understand, there's only one third of me saved. Just hang around like it's him or the two thirds. That's the consummation of my salvation. Amen. Oh, wonder First Peter 1:9 got excited. It said, receive in the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And verse 13, he admonished us, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end. Or the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul said in Philippians 3:20, at our conversation, save man, woman, boy, girl is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, who's going to change our vile body and give us a glorious body like unto His. And God, when He comes, I'm going to receive that salvation from our day and the payday of grace. If you'll come and go with us, we'll do you good. Preacher, what would you have? Well, thank God. I mean, I ain't never going to get old no more. Because there's a celestial city that goes with it. And if you'll come and go with us, we'll do you good. All God's done for us, He'll do for you. And thank God we'll do for you. And He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believed in God, now believe in me. He's talking about the Lord. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I come again, if I'm prepared, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. And where you are, there I am. There you may be also. And in Revelation 21, John said, I saw that pearly white city descending down from God out of heaven as a chaste virgin bride, adorned for her husband, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And he noticed the wall was 1,500 miles high, of pure jasper. Now, some folks don't catch a wave right there. Did you know that our Sputnik circles this earth, and it's just a little over 100 miles away, and I'm going to dwell in a city that's got a wall of jasper, solid jasper, 1,500 miles high, and that wall is four square, 1,500 miles north, south, east, and west. And John said, while I looked, I noticed the former things had passed away. He said, thank God, they want no more cough there. They want no more TB there. They want no more cancer there. They want no more heart attack there. And they want no more death there. He noticed all things have been made new, and they want no hearses rolling down the street of gold, and they want no tombs going down the hills. Time to glory, and they want no more to visit Terrify. And it's an eternal day of God's grace when He displays us in the heavens as a trophy of His amazing grace. Amen. Well, thank God we'll just live as long as God does in a city that will never have no taxes levied on it, in a city that will never have no depreciation, in a city that will never deteriorate. In a street of solid gold, where we'll just live while all the ages roll. And I want to say this in close tonight. If you will come and go with us, we'll do you good. Because we're journeying. And in the case of the lighthouse, from San Diego, California, to glory. And some of us, me from Arkansas, one from Alabama, two from Alabama, to glory. And if you'll come and go with us, we'll do you good. all the days of your pilgrim life. And thank God, when all is said and done, you'll say, absolutely, preacher, the light afflictions of this life is not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us over there.
Thank you. years ago, without his sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Then on my knees, in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. I never shall forget the day when all the burden from my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free, while singing, shouting, for it's everything to me.
For a moment, just stand right up. Don't leave, Brother. Our way, and his grace is all we need. You know, I've noticed something, and maybe you've noticed this. Come right on up here, Brother Chapel. Have you ever gotten in the midst of the battle and every once in a while face an AI just after you had a big victory? Now listen, you expect it. We had a good prison revival, a good meeting down there. We had a good meeting Sunday night and some other good things in the church. And just expect now that just around the corner is a little trouble coming and everything. But this message will see us through. He's sufficient in all things. I like that, according. That's good. Just fill out the check on the bottom line. Amen? Yeah, yeah. Now, by the way, if you do get a check from me and you fill it out, there's no guarantee that check will work or anything like that. It depends on how many zeros you put out there. But if you see Audie, now, put as many zeros as you want, and he'll cover it according to his riches. Amen. We're glad you're here tonight. Let's be seated. Brother Chapel, you come and speak to us tonight. Your mic on.
Okay, is it on? It is, it isn't? Time. Let me say what a blessing it's been for us to be here this week. And, on the behalf of Wayside Prison Ministry, my hospitality here, as always, second to none. And just appreciate your hospitality and the food and the lodging and everything is always just, it's always a blessing and a privilege for us to get to come and be here in the springtime. The only church I go to that I take off from turkey hunting to go to in the spring. And if you're a turkey hunter, you understand. Shake your head back there, Doug. You're a turkey. I don't know if you're a turkey hunter or not. That's a gosh. Man.
Tell it like it is.
Feathers on his legs, ain't he? Amen. Well, I'm leaving tonight anyway, all right? Appreciate the good hospitality. Good to be here, and I really appreciate my know all of our 18 prison revivals we put on during the year. There's no church backs a meeting like this church does, and I don't say that to bring you to visions and revelations, but to just honor where honor's due, and we thank you so much for the help and the personal work and the good spirit. And from all of us, it's been a real privilege and a blessing to be here. And we appreciate everything that's done around here for us. Thank you for loving Brother Bill Pierce, our missionary, and helping him. And I've never heard Brother Pierce say one thing negative about his pastor or about his church. And that's a blessing. And I appreciate your kindness showed to him. And Brother Fisher and his family, as always, what a privilege it is to be here. And with all of you. Now, I want to just take a few minutes tonight. Brother Audie's already preached. All he left for me was the index. or the maps or something. And I don't know anything about the index or the maps, Brother Cano. Audie is he's amazing, the way he preaches and the mind that God's given him in the Scriptures. And I'm just going to say a few things tonight. And be very brief. They say that's the most common lie told among preachers, if they're going to be brief. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I reminded you, turning there, the little hog, and y'all know what the hog is, don't you? That's the H-O-G hog, you know what that is? And a little hen was walking down the road one day, and the hen and the hog, they was conversing back and forth, and they said, you know, we ought to do something for this poor family over here. And the little hen said, I agree. He said, why don't we just give them a ham and egg breakfast and give that to them? And the hog looked at the little old hen, and he said, now, that's easy for you to say, but said, you're talking about a total commitment for me if we do that. And I get the same ideology around here when I hear your staff get up. They're looking for a total commitment, and really I see a lot of totally committed people, and I appreciate what a testimony that is to take back to our folks. And I invite you to come be with us Labor Day, Heart of Dixie camp meeting. We have an old-fashioned camp meeting there under an old tabernacle, sawdust on the floor. We have 400 or 500 there at night. We feed 3 meals a day, have day and night services. And some of God's choice men will be there with us. Your pastor will be there this year. Token, California, be our first and probably our last. Brother Jack Woods will be here with us. Brother Danny Farley, Brother James Langston, Brother Edgar Thomas. A lot of God's precious men, Jerry Mundy and the Rochester family and the Parker family. Danny Castle from Marion, North Carolina will be there. And we feed 3 meals a day, have lodging and hotel accommodations and a lot of things. And your pastor will be getting the particulars on that. If you'd like to come south and be a part of an old-time camp meeting, we'd certainly be glad to have you and to be with us there. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I want to read a few verses here and just brag on the Lord for a few minutes, and then we'll turn our part of the service back to the pastor. Verse 35, he said, the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There was also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? If you notice in the last part of the last verse here in this chapter, the Bible said, what manner of man is this? And that's what I want to preach about tonight. The chapter ends here with a great question. He says, what manner of man is this? The Lord had just preached and reasoned with parables all the day long to this crowd. And if you notice in verse 35, he said, the same day. That's a great text. In verse 36, he said, they took him even as he was. That's a great text. He said the command here was to go to the other side. And that's a great text. Of course, as Brother Audie so eloquently preached to us, when the Lord saved us, he's given us enough grace to make it all the way to the other side. And if you're saved tonight and you didn't want to go to heaven, you shouldn't have got saved, because you're going now. Amen. And in verse number 38, we find a weary Christ. He's asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And in verse 37, there's a wakeless Christ. Seems they cannot wake him when the storm is brewing and the waves are dashing against the ship. And then in verse 39, there is a working Christ. He rises up to the bow of the ship and begins to do only what God can do. And then in verse 41, there is a wonderful Christ. And they say, what manner of man is this? And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Just what manner of man is this? That somebody said, what brings us together tonight? The common ground that me and you have is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What makes me love people from San Diego, California? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes us kinfolk, cuz, and makes us want to go to heaven together? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And they ask him here, they said, what manner of man is this? I want to say this, he is the incomparable one. Who in the world are we going to compare the Lord Jesus Christ to? You see, tonight if we was going to talk about music, we'd look at Beethoven and Bach and we'd compare those men. If we was going to compare military, we'd talk about Alexander or Napoleon. If we was going to talk about literature, we'd talk about Shakespeare and Longfellow. If we was talking about philosophy, we'd talk about Aristotle and Socrates. If we was talking about pulpit orators, we'll talk about Charles Haddon Spurgeon or the great R.G. Lee. If we was talking about missions tonight, we'd compare Hudson Taylor or Adoniram Judson. If we was talking about evangelism tonight, we'd talk about Dwight L. Moody or Billy Sunday or Mordecai Ham or Christmas Evans. If we was talking about hymn writing tonight, we'd talk about Fanny Crosby or the great Charles Wesley. But I'll ask you something, cowboy. Who in the world are we going to compare him to tonight? Thank God he is the music that the bird sings in the limbs. He is the inspiration for every soldier that's ever marched across the water. He is the enlightenment for every writer that's ever pinned down literature. He is the mind of every philosopher, no matter how deep or shallow or wrong or right that he's pinned down the words. He is the silver tongue of every eloquent speaker that's ever stood behind of a sacred book board. He is the heart of every missionary that's ever journeyed across the water. I want to tell you something tonight, they just ain't nobody to compare him with. You can stand up anybody you want to, but they just ain't nobody that'll match up with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I'll say something tonight, you can be a Muslim and never have met Muhammad. You can be a Buddhist tonight and never met old Buddha standing straight up. You can be a Mormon tonight and have never known Joseph Smith. You can be a JW tonight and have never met Taz Russell. You can be a Christian Scientist tonight and never known Mary Eddie Baker. You can be a Catholic tonight and never been to the Vatican and met the Pope. But you'll never be a child of God, neighbor, unless you bear the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the incomparable one. There's nobody to compare him with. He's incomparable. I want to say that our sorrows are hid in his wounds. Our sickness is healed by his stripes. Our sins hang upon his cross. Our shouts hover over an empty tomb tonight. Our soul is held in his hand. Our study is heightened by his word. Our service hinges upon the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody that we can complain to tonight. Matthew 12, they all got together and said, hey, what about the temple that Solomon constructed and was so many days in building, and floated the cedars of Lebanon down the river, and the silversmiths and coppersmiths, and all the men of trades got together and built it. And the Bible said they said greater than the temple here. They said, well, what about Jonah that went to Nineveh and the whole city had revival? He said, a greater than Jonah's here. He said, well, what about Solomon that could speak 3,000 proverbs? And the Queen of Sheba got off her chair and walked in and saw it all and got back in her chair and said, the half ain't never been told. I'll tell you, he said, a greater than Solomon's here. Ain't nobody we can compare to. He's the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. I'm glad he's my Lord and my Savior. He's incomparable tonight. Let me say tonight, he's not only incomparable, but he's the incarnate one. You see, incarnate means to assume flesh. But he's the God-man. He's 100% God and 100% man. The Word became flesh and we beheld the glory. He condescended down from the celestial city of God into a little virgin's womb there and was born and took on him a robe of flesh and thought it not robbery. I will tell you, he is the incarnate one. He's 100% God, 100% man. He's able to be Job's day's man and lay his hand on God and lay his hand on man and reconcile us and bring us together. He is the incarnate one. Can you imagine there, our Savior in Luke chapter 2? When he got over there to that bunch of doctors and lawyers, he said, "Son, how old are you?" He said, "Well, on my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. But on my father's side, I am the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning of the end. I'm the Ancient of Days. On my father's side, I have no beginning. I have no ending. I'm the A to the Z." He is the incarnate one. They said, "Now listen, son, but where do you live at?" He said, "Well, on my mother's side, we live down in Nazareth, a little city down here. But on my father's side, I go a stepping through the clouds. I hung the stars and the planets." They said, "Now, son, listen. We can't get a hold of all this." They said, "But what's your name, son?" He said, "Well, on my mother's side, they call me Jesus of Nazareth. But on my father's side, I'm that ram that was called in the thicket in Abraham's day. I'm Joseph that had the keys to the corn crib." He said, "I'm the Passover lamb in Exodus. I'm the rock and the eagle spoke of in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm the day's man that old Ruth talked about in Bethlehem. I'm that scarlet thread that Rahab let down from the walls of Jericho. I'm the fountain in the book of Zechariah. I'm the great lamb that Moses saw in the burning bush. On my father's side, you ain't got time to hear all my name." He's the God-man. Amen. Somebody said, "How much man was he? How much God was he?" He is so much man that one day he sat down beside a well and asked a harlot for a drink of water. But he is so much God that he gave her the well and let her throw the bucket down and go home. Amen. Oh! He is so much man one day that he sat down by the tomb of Lazarus and wept with Mary and Martha. But he is so much God that he cried, "Lazarus, come forth." And he got up out of the cemetery. He is so much man one day that he went to sleep in the bottom of the ship. But he is so much God. He got up and said, "Peace be still." And the winds and the waves laid down. And the little old fish got over on the sideline and said, "We're sorry, Lord. We didn't know that was you on that ship." He is so much man that he walked up in the mountains one day and prayed to his father. But he is so much God that he could put him a blanket upon the sea and walk out across the billows. I want to say to you, he's the incarnate one. He's the God-man, neighbor. He's the incomparable one. There ain't nobody comparing with. He's the incarnate one. Let me say, he is the immeasurable one. Who in the world are you going to measure him to tonight? I want to say his measurements are boundless. You can go as far as you want to the east, and then turn around and go far as you want to the west, and he's already there, neighbor. You can go as far as you want to the south, and as far as you want to the north, and he's already there. You can make your bed in hell, and he's already there. You can ascend up to the Most High, and that's his dwelling place, neighbor. He is the immeasurable one. You realize you cannot measure his ability? It don't take you long to measure my ability. Not long to measure your ability. But you ever tried to measure his ability? Just cannot do it. I thought about his ability to save sinners. You can't measure that. Here's a little old sister that said, God, I just don't want to see my brother go to hell. I know he means the devil. I know he's wicked as a snake. But God, I want you to save him. Everybody in San Diego didn't know nothing about that, but her and God knew about him. And God said, I heard you pray, sister. And over there on Monday night, God reached down and touched that old boy's heart. Oh, thank God forever. I'm telling you, you cannot measure his ability to save that sinner. I want to tell you, God can save people if we'll pray and ask him to.
Yes.
You cannot measure his ability to save sinners. You cannot measure his ability to sustain the saints.
Amen.
Hey, isn't it amazing how he sustains us? Yes. Isn't that sight? Isn't it somehow he sustains us? I mean, honest to goodness. Little old gal down there in my country, her man died and she got without any meat in the house. And she just went to praying and asking God. She'd gone through a winter, didn't have nothing to eat, no meat. Just eating some stuff she'd canned and put away. An old boy come to the pastor one day and said, Pastor, I'm so dry and barren, I don't know what to do. I ain't felt no tears moisten my face. I ain't felt the touch of God, and I don't know when. He said, sir, said, don't you raise hogs over your place? He said, yeah, matter of fact, I do. He said, you really want a good blessing? He said, yes, sir, I want one. He said, I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you go over and get some of that hog meat and take it over to that old sister that her husband died and ain't had no meat? He said, I believe God will bless you if you'll do that. That old boy said, now, I don't know much about it, but if that'll get me a blessing, said, I'm willing to do it.
Amen.
He went home, parked the old pickup truck out in front, walked back out of the smokehouse. He walked right past, looked up at the old sow belly hanging there, and he said, well, reached for it, and the Holy Ghost said, I believe I'd just give her the best.
Yeah.
He passed that sow belly, looked up and saw his shoulders, reached to get his shoulder, and the Holy Ghost said, I believe I'd just give her the best.
Yeah.
He passed him shoulder and went over there and saw him with no hams hanging down. Reached up and got one of them hams, put it over on his shoulder and started back for the pickup truck. By the time he laid it over on the tailgate, he felt them tears going to dripping down his face. He felt that presence of God again. That old boy laid that ham down and started back to the smokehouse. Oh, yeah. He looked up high and got that second ham off that rack. He said, hey. He said, God, I might have got the smallest, but I'll just give her both of them. Amen. And laid that second one over there on that buckboard and closed the tailgate of the truck. And the devil said, you made a fool out of yourself of giving your meat away. He said, devil, you better shut up. I'll tie all the meat out of here, tie the smokehouse down, and take it all over there. Sustaining the saints. You cannot measure his ability. You cannot measure his authority, neighbor. He has authority over the deep. I mean, who do you know that can walk out on the Pacific Ocean and say, peace, be still, and the winds and waves lay down and be still? He has authority over the deep. He has authority over the devil. I mean, every time he met a devil, every time he met one of Satan's army, he rebuked it, and that devil had to flee and leave. He had authority over the deep and authority over the devil, and he had authority over death. Can you imagine that day at Calvary when our Savior checked in the death hotel? He looked up at the register. Death said, "Jesus, we've been waiting on you. You raised the widow of Nain's children, but we got them back. You raised Lazarus, but we got them back." And he said, "Now we've got you." And the best hotel clerk, he said, "Sign right here." Jesus pulled out his pen and signed two words, swung the register back around. Death hotel clerk said, "I am." "What does I am mean?" He says, "It means I am the resurrection and the truth of the life. And in 3 days, I'm going to get up out of here." And he signed in the death hotel. Death came by, never lost a victim, never sweated a bit. But he came by death hotel, and the devil said, "Mr. Death, how is everything today?" He said, "It's the first day since Jesus has been here, and everything's quiet." Yeah. He said, "Amen." He said, "Go on about your business, destroying lives, ruining people." He said, "I've got him locked up, everything's fine." Yeah. The devil come by on day number two. He said, "Mr. Death, how is it? Everything all right?" He said, "It's quiet as a church mouse. Ain't nothing going on around here. Go right on about your business." But on that third and glorious morning, the devil came by this hotel, and there, standing there wringing his hands up and sweat pouring off his face. He said, "What's the matter with you, Death? I ain't never seen you look like that." He said, "Early this morning, they was a rattling in the tombs, and the Lord got up out of here and left, and he took my keys with him, and he's gone." You just cannot measure his authority. Over there before he left. He had some unfinished business to take care of. He had old Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Had all them old patriarchs that died in faith. Hey, as they're in paradise. I can see them all sitting around there. One day the door swung open. They jumped up and said, "What's going on here? Who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm just an old thief." As a matter of fact, I just died. He said, "What's going on up there?" He said, "Well, Rome's killing people, crucifying people." He said, "This usual day in Rome." And I can hear him. He said, "Well," he said, "Poor Abraham," said, "Hey, anybody up there look like my friend?" "Oh, Joseph," said, "anybody up there look like the one I dreamed about?" "Yeah." "Oh, Rahab," said, "does anybody up there look like that scarlet thread?" "Oh, Zechariah," said, "anybody up there look like a fountain?" "Oh, Isaiah," said, "does anybody up there look like wonderful counselor, mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulder?" "Does anybody up there look like that?" "Oh, Malachi," said, "anybody up there look like the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings?" "Oh, John the Baptist," said, "bless God, look at here, boys. Does anybody up there look like the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world?" That old boy said, "Hold on now, wait a minute." He said, "I ain't been saved but about 5 minutes. I don't know nothing about all that." He said, "All I know, the last thing he said was, I'll meet you in paradise today." And about that time, the door swung open, and the Lamb of God walked in and led captivity. captive and gave gifts unto men and took paradise from the heart of the earth and moved it to the third heaven. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, if I wasn't so dignified, I'd shout. You cannot measure. He's immeasurable. Let me close and say this. I'm tired. I'm give out. Folks, preach you today. No. He's the inviting one tonight. He is the inviting one. John 21, neighbor. Mr. Jordan and Brother Jordan comes and gets ready to place offering sing. In John 21, he said, coming down. Have you ever noticed that in John 21? If there was any time, he ought to call them rebels, yeah. Renegades.
That's right.
That'd have been a time for it. I mean, they're backslid. Peter's naked. He's out on the boat.
Right.
They're away from God. They don't even believe in the resurrection.
Right.
Hadn't caught a thing all night. And the Lord Jesus Christ steps up on the bank. And he says what?
Yeah.
Children! Have you any meat?
Amen.
He said, children, have you any meat? Oh, John, the beloved, the one that lay on his breast the Last Supper, he said, it's the Lord. Oh, Peter, he was naked out on the boat, jumped in the water, and headed toward the shore. And the Lord said, come and dine. Come and dine.
Amen.
He invited them to come and dine. In Matthew 11, he invites them to come and rest. He said, come and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto you. So, hey, you remember the night he invited you to come and rest? You remember the night he invited you to come and rest? Revelation 21, he invites you to come and take the water of life freely. If you're here tonight and you ain't got a dime, it won't cost you one. If you're here tonight and his brother already preached you're a billionaire, won't take none of your money. Come and take the water of life freely. Come ye to the waters without price. And Isaiah 1:18 invites you to come and reason. Have you ever reasoned with anybody that's just unreasonable? Have you ever talked to anybody you just couldn't get nowhere with? Well, the Lord said, come and let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet. They shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. I'm telling you, he is the most reasonable person you've ever dealt with.
Amen.
And his arms is outstretched tonight. What manner of man is this? He's the inviting one, inviting you, men, women, boys, and girls, to come to him to take of the water of life freely. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Whatever your need is tonight, he invites you to come. Mother, if there's problems at home, he invites you to come. Dad, if there's problems at home, he invites you to come. Preacher.